John chapter 12. I'm going to look at one verse here, and I was searching around for some thoughts to deal with this morning and to preach on, and I was going to deal with John chapter 1 in the beginning with the Word, and the Word was with God, and I somehow the Lord just kept on pressing me to deal with this particular verse here instead. And certainly Jesus is the light of the world, and we're going to deal a lot with that. But I felt just God just kind of moved me to deal with this thought this morning. I trust it'll be something that'll speak to your heart. There's a very important truth that's portrayed here. This is our Lord speaking in verse number 35. He's very firm. He gives a firm warning. He's a faithful watchman on the wall and sounds out the warning. And so I want to do that this morning. I want to be faithful to the Word of God. I want to be faithful to the calling of God and to sound out the same warning. Now, this particular course of Scripture, I know some will say, well, Brother Owen, he was speaking to the Jews. Yes, he was. Primarily, he went to the Jew first. He went to his own, and his own received him not. And so probably, yes, you can say this is primarily speaking to the Jews. He's speaking to them of his being in their presence and not being there long. They better take advantage while he's there. There's going to be a time that they'll seek him and not be able to find him. There'll be a time when he turns his kingdom away from them and turns to the Gentiles. And so he challenges them here in this verse, and he makes some statements. So let me say this. There's a secondary application. And I believe the Bible teaches us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so there's a lesson for us here this morning. There's a warning for us. There's admonition for us. This is a truth that we'll see throughout the Bible. And the warning that God gives, you get light, God shows you how to live, you'd best live that way for your own good and His glory. He gives these words to these people. Notice what He says here. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, you'd allow me this morning, Father, to preach this message. I love the study and the sweetness of the study and the flow of the thoughts that I believe you give in the study. And now as I stand here, I desire that which was so fresh and so simple to understand and so real to my heart as I sat and wrote down the notes and bathed in the unction of God just portraying this truth to my heart. Now I pray it allow me now to preach it. I pray, Lord, you'd bring it to my mind, my feeble old mind. I pray, Lord, you'd let me have the wisdom, the liberty, the unction of the Holy One. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, certainly we know that the Lord is challenging these Jews and said he's going to be with them a little while. And so while they had the opportunity to walk in the light that he's shedding on their path, Jesus is the light of the world. He's the wisdom. He's the essence of the thoughts of God. He's the Logos. He's the Word of God. He's the actual thoughts of God towards man. And then he was manifested in those thoughts in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he became flesh. And I like what one man said. I won't go on that route this morning. And he dwelt amongst us. He tabernacled amongst us. He actually, the word there means he
when he dwelt amongst us, he pitched his tent amongst us and revealed the wisdom and revealed the will of God through the Word, the visible Word of God, the visible manifestation of the thoughts of God towards man was in the Lord Jesus Christ's personage. And the way He walked and talked and gave His life for us, we had the light that came from God. And so, He said, a little while I'm going to be with you, and you need to walk in that light, lest darkness come upon you. And so He gives the admonition as He come to portray the will of God, the ways of God, the works of God, and He gives the opportunity to every person to hear the Word of God and receive it and have understanding. He gives us the direction, the true way of life. Can I say to you, as we're enter this season, and I'm not going to get into that much this morning, enter this season of the celebration of His birth, I have no problem with that. The angels had no problem with that. The wise men had no problem celebrating His birth, so I have no problem. Can I say to you, His birth is recorded in the Bible. You celebrate your birthday, don't you? And so I don't have any problem celebrating my Lord's birthday. I have no problem with that, and I'll not be intimidated by it either. I believe it's right. I believe it's biblical because it's in the Bible, and I'm taught to preach the Word, and that's part of the Word of God. So I've got a right to preach it. I'm not necessarily going to preach on this morning. I might hit a little bit, but can I say to you that I believe He came and He achieved His goal and purpose of coming. I believe he did a great and a glorious work, lived that sinless life that He very seldom gets recognition for living. I mean, it was a virtuous, holy life. I believe He was tempted like at all points like you are. I believe He was a man. I believe He was all man. And I believe He was all God. What a wonder. What a wonder. What a thing. What something to hard to comprehend with our little feeble mind that He could be all God and all man at the same time. Feel everything you feel. Have the emotions that you have. Be grieved in His spirit. Get tired like you do. Get hungry like you do. But he was also God. And so I'm saying this morning that He came into this world. Now, no doubt He ascended into heaven, but we still have that light. We have that light through the Word of God. We have that light that He came and manifested to us through His presence in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God guides us in all truth. He manifests the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so can I say to you, we still have the light in our day. We still have the opportunity to understand the things of God. We still have that direction. We still have that leadership. We still have that truth of God in this day that you could have. There's no man that can say, I don't know. I don't know how. I don't know what God requires of me. No man will be able to say that before God. Can I say to you, we'll all stand without excuse. We can have, and I'll deal with that in a few moments, knowledge of God and the ways of God. And so He deals with really the reality here of two different ways you could walk. You could walk in the light as He is in the light, or you can reject the light, refuse the light, disobey the light, refuse to walk in what you know is right. I've noticed different times we say it lightly, frivolously, without much concern. How that we all know we should live better than we live. How that we all understand there's things that God has told us to do that we failed to yet make the application to our life. How we all know and have heard and have light on many things that we've not yet applied to our lives. I'm not all that I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Isn't that wonderful? Should we glory in that? Jesus gives us stern warning here. And He tells us that you need to walk in the light while you've got it. Why you understand it. Why you can comprehend it. Why it's visible to you. Why it's manifested to you. Why you have a sound mind. You need to walk in the light. You need to make the application. Every opportunity you get to hear the light, you need to walk in the light. You need to apply that light, that truth, that understanding of the ways and the wills of God. You need to put them into practice. You need to apply them to your life, lest darkness come upon you. He's going to paint a horrible picture here, a dark picture here, for those that fail to heed the Word of God. It's a dangerous thing what people do to know what is right and yet refuse to do it. It's a dangerous game to play. And can I say to you, you'll always be the loser when you fail to make the application of the Word of God. I know I ought to do better. Know I ought to do right. You're deceiving yourself. And so I want to deal with these two ways just for a few moments. He says, walk in the light. That's a lifestyle of obedience, submission, walking with God. It's a wonderful path to travel. It's a straight and narrow way, but can I say to you, this way is well lit. It's well marked. It's a lifestyle that's a charted course. You know where you're going. You know what's required of you. When you walk in the light, you have perfect understanding of the will of God. The verse of scriptures, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. It's a walk of purity. It's a walk of forgiveness. It's a walk of truth. It's a walk of fellowship. It's a walk of communion. You have communion with God. I'm saying, what a wonderful way to live. Is to walk in the light. As you walk in the light, you find forgiveness for your sin. As you walk in the light, you have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost of God. I'm saying to you that it's a wonderful life to live. It's a wonderful way to walk. It's a holy walk. It's a clear walk. It's a visible walk. It's a sensible walk. It's a reasonable walk. It's a walk that gives life eternal. Can I say to you, it's the best and the only way to live. Apostle Paul said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, he says, I know whom I am believeth, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed on him against that day. I'm saying that he knows it's a walk of assurance. It's a walk of peace. Gives peace to the soul. You know who you are, what you are, where you're going. You know what your life's all about. So you got purpose and reason for your life. I'm saying it's a wonderful walk. It's a glorious walk. It's a walk, as I said, that the Holy Spirit of God will come in. If you looked in John, let's look in John 14, just another page across. John 14:23, a little word in there I want you to see. Notice in verse 23 of John 14, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And notice what the next little word is. And what? We. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's a walk of fellowship with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost of God. You've got down here, you've got the Father and the Son, and you know the Holy Spirit of God indwells every believer. You've got the Trinity fellowshipping with you, supping with you, as Revelation 3:20 tells us, that when you open that door, He'll come in and sup with you. I'm saying that you've got that special, unique relationship of communion with God, fellowship with God, as you walk in the light, as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with the brethren, but we have fellowship and communion with God. He'll come into your life. He'll walk in your life. He'll direct your life. He'll order your path. He'll give you comfort and strength and assurance and courage. He'll give you the power to stand. He'll give you victory over sin. I'm saying one of the most beautiful lives, the only life worth living, is walking in the light. Walking in obedience to God. Walking in the truth. As God reveals His Word to you, as God gives you understanding, as God shows you this is the way, walk ye in it. Can I say when you walk in obedience, when you're sensitive to the Spirit of God, when you bow and yield to the Spirit of God, and you obey what you know that you're ordered to do, can I say it's a rewarding walk. It's a precious walk. I'm saying to you, it's a wonderful relationship that you could have knowing that you're part of God's family, knowing that your sins are forgiven, knowing that you're a child of God, knowing that you've passed from death unto life, knowing that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13, we know that we have eternal life. These things have I written unto you, that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe in the name of the Son of God, that you can know. You can know. I'm saying it's a wonderful. This is what Fanny Crosby's talking about, that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. How do you get that? Walking in the light. As you walk in the light, as God reveals His way, as He gives you understanding, as you walk in obedience, as the Holy Spirit of God will bear witness to your heart and give you that a blessed assurance. It'll give you the reality in your life that you're in, that you belong, you're heading in the right direction. You can know with assurance in your mind and have that peace that passes understanding. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I know I'm heading in the right direction. I know I've got things settled. There's no enmity between me and God. God's got nothing against me. God has given me His peace. God has given me His mercy. God has given me His forgiveness. God walks with me. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into that perfect day. It's a wonderful, bright way to walk, illuminated by the presence of God, illuminated by the Word of God, illuminated by the Holy Ghost of God. You can see where you're going, and you can know where you're going, and you can know who you're going with. I'm saying it's a wonderful life to walk in the light. I'm saying it's the most precious, pure, holy life to live is to walk in that wonderful, glorious life. It's the only logical life. It's a life that's proven. It's a life, it's a path that He had engineered, He designed. I'm saying the walk in the light is the way that God ordained for us to live. And it's the path that He told us to trot. It's the path that He walked. We're to walk even as He walked. And so it is to follow those steps of, how's that song go? Oh, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior. Walking in the light. Walking in the light. And I say to you, you're following Him. You're following His example. You're following His teaching. Following His Word. I'm saying you're walking the same path that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob walked. You're walking the same path that the Apostle Paul walked. You're walking the same path that David walked. I'm saying to walk in the light is to walk in God's grace and to walk in God's goodness. I believe it's a wonderful way to live. I believe it's the only assuring, sound, sensible, reasonable way to conduct your life is obedience to God's Word. It's the only foundation that's sure when you are a doer of the Word of God, Matthew chapter 7. It's the only house of faith that'll stand. It's the only house that'll stand the storms and the test of time and the temptations that are thrown at you in this world. The only one that'll stand is built upon the rock. It's the doers of the Word of God, not the hearers, the people that obey and are submissive and do what the Bible tells them. And the Bible orders and commands them to live righteous life. They do what the Word of God says. When the Bible tells them to give, they give. When the Bible tells them to separate, they separate. When the Bible tells them to serve, they serve. When the Bible tells you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. When the Bible tells you yield your members and it's for righteousness, you yield them. You walk in the light. You know what the light is. You know what God's will is. You have a perfect confidence in your life, a blessed assurance. As I said, you can see where you're going. The Bible says, except a man be born again, it cannot see the kingdom of God. You can see where you're going. I hope I get this truth across this morning. The Christian is a child of light. He's not a child of darkness. He's not stumbling along, not sure what he's doing, where he's going, what's going to happen. He's a child of light. His way is made visible. His way is manifested. His way is lighted before him. He knows. He can see. He can see where he's going. He knows the path he trods. He knows what God's will is. He's got light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light on my path. The word is lit. The path is lit up. by the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God. I'm saying we're children of light. Walk in light while you got light, can I say to you? It's a dangerous thing. I hope you listen to me in the next 10 minutes. It's a dangerous thing to know to do right, and you don't do it. Now I hope you listen to me. This is a frightening picture that he paints. This is something that almost would torment your mind if you realize the reality of what he's saying to you here, if you fail to walk in the truth that he has given you, the understanding that God's given you. God has told you what is required of you, what his desire is for your life. He hasn't left you ignorant. He hasn't left you in the dark. He hasn't left you confused. He has ordered your path. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You're commanded and told how to live. You're not requested. You're ordered by God. Walk in this way. Live this way. Do my will. It's not a request. I think they're called commandments, I believe. He that loveth me, keep my requests. That's what you'd think in our day. You'd think that people, the way that people treat the Bible, it's all suppositions and requests, and you've got a smorgasbord type Bible that you can take and pick and choose what you want to obey. No! He that loves me keeps my commandments. They walk in the light, and their sins are forgiven. I reckon the person that doesn't walk in the light as he is in the light don't have the cleansing of the blood. Would you believe that? And so I'm saying to you that this is a life that's manifested. This is a life that's the only safe life, is the life of walking the light. Just doing what you know is right. You might not know all what the Bible says, but you know what God has told you to do. You know what you've heard. You know what you understand. There's a lot of things in the Bible I don't understand. But there's a whole lot of things that I do understand now, real clear. I mean, there's nothing cloudy or mysterious or confusing about it. It's real clear what God wants me to do, how He wants me to live. He says, walk while there's light. Now, notice what he said here back in our text. He said, walk while there's light, while you have light, lest darkness come upon you. Lest darkness come upon you. That is a frightening thought, that darkness would come upon your understanding. This is one of the most tragic and frightening thoughts, to think what could and what will, not could, what will happen to you if you fail to obey what you know that God has told you to do. Lest darkness come upon you. If you fail to walk in the light, darkness is going to come into your mind. Darkness is going to come into your reasoning. Darkness is going to come into your thought life. Darkness is going to confuse you. Darkness is going to distort your reasoning. Darkness is going to deceive you. Darkness is going to come upon you if you fail to obey what God has told you to do. You're a subject of darkness. I'm saying it'll come automatic. You're not going to be able to deal with it. You're not going to be able to resist it. You're not going to be able to see it. You're not going to be able to understand that it's overtaken you. It'll overcome you. It'll captivate you. It'll control you. You will walk in darkness and not know how you're walking or understand how you're walking. You won't be able to understand yourself. Notice what he says here. Lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness, read your Bible. He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether he goeth. Knoweth not whether he goeth. And I say to you, this is a
this is a frightening and this is a blinding curse. This is a curse that will come on a person that refuses to do what God tells them to do. This is a curse that comes on your mind, on your reasoning. You walk according to your understanding. Light is instruction. Light is truth. Light illuminates your path. Light gives you the revelation of God, the way things are, the way things are, the way things that God is. That's the wisdom of God, the understanding of God, the thoughts of God. Light is the ways of God. And can I say to you, if you reject the light, if you will not do what the Bible tells you to do, you refuse to obey the Bible, reject the truth, darkness will come in. And it'll cause you to change your way of thinking and reasoning till you really don't understand, you don't comprehend, you really don't know how you're walking, how you're living. Listen to me carefully. Or what's wrong with you, or where you're going. We treasure our reasoning. We think we're untouchable in our minds, that we're capable of understanding deception or resisting deception, that we'll always have a good, clear mind and understand the Bible. Walk in light, lest darkness comes upon you. Lest darkness comes upon you. Now, this is the Bible truth. It's portrayed throughout the Word of God. I'm going to go through it real quick this morning. I want you to follow with me. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I want you to see how this takes place. You'll see this often. Notice Romans chapter 1, beginning verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, is visible, made understandable. God give you a conscience. God lights the light of every man. God gives you reasoning and a conscience. God manifests in your mind the ways of God, the truths of God. God reveals to you that there is a God through His Word, through a conscious reason. You can know. You have the mind, every person here has the mind to know and to understand the ways of God. They're not beyond your understanding, not past your finding out. You can find out. Woe unto God if He give me a Bible and I don't understand it and that He requires of me of it. Oh no! He give you a Bible that's understandable. He give you a Holy Ghost guide that'll teach you and you can know all things. There's no person that'll be saying, I didn't know! God will look at him and says, because you didn't want to know. You didn't desire to know. You had no interest to know. You didn't search to know. You didn't want to know me. You didn't search out the things of God. You didn't seek out God with all your heart, with all your mind. You sought for excuse. You sought for ways to reason against the things of God. He said, notice what it says here. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. God's revealed it. There's not a person in this world that God has ever hid from. I don't care if you're in the darkest jungles. I don't care if you were in some deserted island and you bowed your head and said, if there be a God, would you manifest yourself to me? Can I tell you that prayer would be answered? That's my God. He desires that. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He don't enjoy seeing people go to hell. He doesn't enjoy that. He'd much rather see one sinner repent.
So he says here, he's manifested these things to him. Now watch closely what it says here. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. All of God's creation, all his works, even the eternal power of the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What's the songwriter say? Who made the mountains? Who made the sea? Who made the rivers to flow? Somebody bigger than you and I. Somebody had to make it. Somebody had to put it all in store. Somebody had to make it all work out. Somebody had to form the beautiful butterfly, and the flower, and all the different things. Somebody had to create those things. Somebody has the power to change people. If you can't see him in creation, you can see him in the way he has worked in the lives of people. I see how he's worked in your life. I remember back before most of you were part of the family of God. I remember. And I can stand here this morning and truly say that I can see the grace of God. I can see the power of God, the handiwork of God. I'm without excuse. I know God's able to deliver people. God's able to set them free. And I say, I know that God is real. So we're without excuse. Notice what it says here, though. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Can you imagine if your mind was darkened? All your reasoning, all your understanding was put into a tailspin of confusion. The Bible didn't make sense to you anymore. It just looked like it was something that was contradictory. Looked like the Bible, there was just all kinds of faults in it. Looks like there's errors in the Bible. Looks like it just can't be. I mean, I don't understand a God that would do this and this. Their foolish minds were darkened. You resist the truth. You fail to walk in the truth. Jesus said, look out. Beware. Let darkness come over your life. Darkness overshadow your mind, your understanding, your reasoning. Cover that light that I give you. Put a shadow over your mind to where you don't see things the way they are and the way God made them. You begin to see them through a distorted look. Your whole vision changes. Your understanding becomes warped. And you don't see things right. You don't reason things right. Everything becomes distorted and twisted in your mind. Your foolish mind is darkened. Darkened by deception. But darkened because you failed to heed the Word of God and receive the Word of God. You want to look over some time over there in 2 Thessalonians when he talks about those that didn't love the truth and they received strong delusions. Same principle I'm preaching this morning. They had no love for the truth and so they received strong delusions. I fear for people I see set in church and have no interest, no concern for hearing the Word of God, no love of the truth. To them it's just old fable and myth and stale, old statements that are not worth their attention. They value their thinking and reasoning much higher than what God has to say. Their foolish heart is darkened. Professing the wise, tells lies, they become fools.
the danger of treating the Word of God lightly, the danger of rebellion, procrastinating, failure. Listen to me carefully. Will you look at me carefully this morning? Would you look at me? When you hear the truth, and you fail to respond to it, you fail to obey it, you fail to practice it, something happens to you. You're changed. You don't walk away the same person. You don't remain the same person. You change. You change in your mind. Something takes place in your mind. You just don't walk away and all things remain the same. You just don't reject light and it doesn't affect you. You don't do that. You can't do that. You can't just mock God and it not cost you something. When you fail to obey the truth, you're a mockery to God. And you can't remain the same. Your mind won't remain the same. Your reasoning won't remain the same. You will change when you resist the truth or rebel against the truth. Notice with me to James chapter 1. Very familiar passage of Scripture. James chapter 1. Notice what it says here in verse number 22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And he beholding himself goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, did it change him? Did it have an effect on him? He's seen the fault in his life. The Word of God made it clear. You've got a sin in your life. God marked that person. And they seen that mark. It was visible to them. They could see, oh my, I've got an ugly fault in my life. I got a wicked, vile sin in my life. The Word of God has rebuked me. It's cut me to the heart. It's a deserter of the thought and the intents of my heart. It knows me. It's revealed what I am. God says if you don't do something about it right there, He says you'll walk away and you'll forget all about it and you won't even know how bad you really are off. Just because you rejected the truth. Is it not affecting the mind? Is it not changing the mind? Is it not scary and frightening that you can't even tell what you are, who you are, what you're like, simply because you did not obey the truth? You don't even know yourself. If you fail to obey the Word of God, you don't know what you're like, what's in your life, how bad off you really are. You don't even know where you're going. Let darkness come upon you. Darkness. I don't know how to paint this picture in the horrid, frightening scene that it really is. To make you realize how dangerous it is to toy with the Word of God, to mock the Word of God, to ignore the Word of God, to go your own way when you know better. To him that knoweth to do good. To him that knoweth to do good. And doeth it not, to him it is sin. What a dangerous game to play. Set in church, and you know what God requires of you. You know what God will for your life. You know what God has spoke to your heart. When I preach it, I don't know what God says to you personally. I throw the words in the air. The Holy Ghost makes the application. He bears it down to your heart individually. He might speak to you about one thing and speak to somebody else about something else. I never know what he speaks to you about. But then you're responsible. The person that knows much is much required of them.
And I say to you that it's a dangerous thing for you. Dangerous. Dangerous. Tragic. My, I don't know enough adjectives to describe the frightful truth that I'm preaching to you about what can happen to your mind if you do not obey the truth. Now listen to me. You need a proper understanding of the Word of God in order to get saved. Now it isn't that you don't know or you can't know. The Bible tells us that men reject light because they love their deeds, or they love darkness rather than light. Let me give you another verse I want you to look at. Look with me just for a moment over to look with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to look at these verses. This is such a scary thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse number 3. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which... He blinds the minds of them which believe the gospel. Who's he blind? Those that reject the gospel, will not believe the gospel, will not receive the gospel. He blinds their minds. You sit in church and say, well, I know I ought to be saved. And I know that's right. I know I'm a sinner. But I believe I've got time, and I believe that I got some living to do, and on and on and on. You reason in your own mind why you should reject the gospel. Not just simple reasoning. Who do you think a person's listened to when they reject the gospel? There's only two forces in this world. Who would whisper in your ear, wait? Who would convince you in your mind that you've got more time? Couldn't be the Holy Ghost of God, could it? It could be the devil himself or one of his imps. I still believe in demons. Still believe that they're a strong influence. I believe they come to church. And the Bible says here that the devil blinds the minds of them which believe not. But can I say to you, I believe the devil has the power. When you say, well, I don't know that I believe that. I don't know that I believe that it's necessary today. And I don't know that I believe that I actually have to repent of my sin. And I don't know that I believe that I actually have to yield myself to the Lord Jesus Christ and die to self. Oh, devil, right on. I'll give you some more reasons why you don't have to do that. I mean, you're young. You're healthy. You're smart. I mean, there's got to be other ways. I mean, God certainly knows, just like my one sister told me, God knows we're human and we have human desires and needs. And God understands that. No, he don't. There's only one way. Yes, sir. Preacher, you're narrow-minded. You're right. I believe in straight and narrow way. I mean, there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can I say to you that people that resist that, reject that, say there's got to be an easier way, there's got to be a softer way. I believe just as long as I go to church and do this and this. No, that's rejecting the gospel. That's trying to climb up another way. Believe me, if you want excuses how to reject this, you reject the Word of God and the reasoning, He'll give you the same reasoning. Look at me. He'll give you the same reason to give Eve. Lest you be beguiled like Eve was. Eve was given reasoning by the devil. That's all he has to do is just give you some reasoning contrary to the Word of God. That's darkness. That's darkness. It's danger. It's dangerous. Can I say to you, did you know that, listen to me carefully, and I'll just interject this. One of the ways that cults reach people is because they reject truth and they open their mind for darkness. Now, what has the occult's got for darkness? Listen to me, 2 minutes right here. What have the occult's got for darkness that really captivates a lot of people? The occult's feel that they have kind of an extra perception. They have a better understanding. They have illuminated knowledge. Close to Gnosticism, I guess you'd say. But you know what all cults, do you know how cults reach most people that get out of church? Do you know that cults brag that they've got most, one of their biggest crowds is Baptists? Do you know what Baptists they're reaching? Do you know what Baptists would believe Charles Taswell Russell or Joseph Smith? Do you know what Baptists would believe that is the truth? As a Baptist that sat in Sunday school and heard the truth and rejected it. You know what the cults use? Now listen, this is the way that most occults capture people, is they'll point out, do you know that that Christian celebration of Christmas is pagan? I can take you back through history and prove it to you. Do you know what the Pharisees used against Jesus? They argued with him. Calls himself a man of God, and he eats with sinners. Eats with sinners. Fellowships with sinners. And not only that, his disciples eat without washing their hands. And to top it off, he calls himself God, and here he is. He heals on the Lord's day, on the Sabbath day. You know he's not right. You know he's not true. You know he can't be the Son of God. All occults will use Phariseeism to get a following. All of them. Huh? Sure, I know there's paganism in Christian. There's paganism in the very day you're sitting here. Called Sunday. Sunday is not in your Bible. It's a pagan word after the sun god. So I'm going to tear it out of my calendar and say, I'm not going to call it Sunday no more. Whoop, whoop. Joy to the world. Joy to the world. Saturn has come. Is that what you're saying? What are you saying when you're saying joy to the world? Who do you have in your mind and who are you worshiping in your heart when you say joy to the world? The Lord has. They can spread darkness and deceive people simply by trying to show the false in Christianity. And you know what people will that don't believe the truth? They'll grasp it right up. Fill up the Mormon church, fill up the Church of Latter-day Saints, fill up the Seventh-day Disadvantages, fill up all that cult, I don't care what it is, the Russellites, sure, hey, and you go there and the first thing they'll do is say, look here, see what's wrong with a Christian, see what they believe, see this is wrong, this is wrong. They celebrate Easter and they, I don't celebrate Easter, I celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. I don't celebrate a Christmas, a Christmas, I celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he came. I'm glad he came and dwelt. I sing with the angels. The angels sing and I sing. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill to all men. I found that goodwill. So I can sing it with the angels. I'll join in with them. Amen. When they sing it in heaven, I'll know how to sing it. Don't get me going. Bothers me when people don't want to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, well, I found a fault. There's pagan. You don't know how much they've infiltrated the pagan doctrines and all these things. But that don't mean that I'm following them. Are you going to judge my motives? You can't judge my motives. You have no biblical right to judge. My motives come from my heart, and you have no right to judge my motives. Now, you can judge my actions. You can be spiritual. And if I go to the wrong place, if I wear the wrong clothes, you, as spiritual, have a right to judge me. But you can't look in my heart and judge me. You can't judge my heart. If I say that I want to regard a day to the Lord, hallelujah, I'll regard it unto the Lord. And I'm glad he come. I look forward to his coming again. Hallelujah. The danger, let me get back to my message, the danger of this darkness. Can I say to you, when you open your mind up, when you reject light, you just can't leave a void in your mind. What I'm saying is, when God gives you light on a subject, now listen to me, I'll close this. When God gives you light saying, this is the way it is, this is truth. If you reject that and fail to walk in it, then you're going to have to fill that spot with some other reasoning, some other rationale. You're going to have to deal with that particular subject or that issue in another way. Now, when you reject Christ as the creator of all things, you have to fill that void. Well, then how did it get here? Must be Darwin's right. You see, you can't just leave that spot empty and say, well, I reject this, and I just don't believe the Bible's right on that. Well, then you've got to fill in that spot. You've got to answer that question. You've got to have some kind of reasoning to deal with that thing that you rejected from the truth. And that's where darkness will come in every time. Every time we fail to obey the truth, every time we reject the truth, can I say to you, we're walking in darkness. What did he say? He said, the people that walk in darkness, he says, and he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You know, you think, now listen to me carefully. You think that the people that you know that are lost, that have sat in church and listened to preaching on hell, you think in your mind that they know they're going to hell. Don't believe that. They may even tell you they're going to hell. They do not know. Not down in their heart. They don't know they're going to hell. You listen to me carefully and just reason with me just a second. The Bible tells you here, the darkness will come on and they'll know not whithersoever they go. Now listen to me carefully. If a person is fully convinced and clear in their mind of the biblical truth of hell, believe me, they would repent. If they fully understand the terror, the horror of hell, if they understood the eternal punishment of hell, if they understood the torment of hell, if they understood the reality of hell, believe me, they would run to repentance. They may use the word lightly, they may use it as a cuss word, as a slang word, but they really don't know where they're going. They have no idea. They've rejected the light. They've rejected the truth of God's Word. That's why they'll come up with their other reason. I'll shovel coal, the rest of my buddies, we'll have a good old meal party. That's the reason the devil gives them. It's a light place. It can't be a bad place. It can't be a bad place of torment. They rejected the light, so they have to get another kind of reasoning of the hell. They know not whithersoever they're going. They don't know their end. They can't see where they're going. They're stumbling along in darkness. They're confused. And can I say to you, they don't know what eternity's like. Can you see the plight of these people? Can you see the danger, the frightfulness of this? Of rejecting the truth? Failure to walk in the light? Failure to obey God? Can you see why people reason like they do and make such smart, elegant, sarcastic remarks about Christianity and the truth of the Word of God? Can you hear where it comes from? Do you understand their mind is darkened? Do you understand they don't know what they're talking about? Do you understand that their mind is foolish? It's not reasonable. It's not sensible. It's not even sound. It's not stable. You might as well say they got the same mind as the maniac in Gadara. It's not reasonable. When you come to God, God gives you a sound mind, a stable mind, a clear mind, a mind to understand the truth, a renewed mind. The devil gets your mind, and he'll put blinders on it. He'll fix you. He'll give you reasoning that'll just cause you to stumble along, searching for the way, falling into pitfalls and traps, and you can't tell how your life's going to end up. You can't see the end of smoking might end up in cancer. You can't see the way that your family's going. It might end up tearing the whole family up. I just looked at the front page. I said, honey, look at this front page. Showed a lady, said the first time she'd heard from her son in years was he was in prison, in jail, and charged with the murder of a man and his wife and his little daughter, 2-year-old daughter. Now listen to me carefully. I said, honey, look what it says here. When he was 6 months old, did she give him up to his grandparents, and his grandparents raised him. And now she's in the paper wondering what happened to her son. They know not whether they go with him. And I say, a sinner can't tell. You can't reason with them. They can't see down the road and see their life is going to end up in tragedy and end up in destruction, end up destroying their home, end up destroying their children, end up sending their children out. They can't see that. They know not whether they're going. Their mind is darkened. Their mind is blinded. Their reasoning is confused. And they've got a mind that's controlled by the devil. Why? Because they rejected light. They refused to walk in the light. What a danger. What a danger. What a tragedy. What a frightful thing. Jesus said, walk while you have light. While you understand, while your mind's clear. Lest darkness come upon you. Confusion. Distortion. Deception. And you don't know nothing about spiritual things. You can't see yourself as you really are. And you don't even know where you're going. Can I ask you this morning? Do you know, old preacher used to say this, do you know that you know that you know that you know that you know? Is it clear in your mind? Has the Holy Ghost of God just given you that peace? And you know it's settled. That's why the songwriter wrote, the old account was settled long ago. I've got it clear. Paul said, I know whom I am believing and am persuading. He's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. It's clear in my mind. I know I'm right with God. I know where I'm going. I know a treasure's laid up for me. I know I'm heading heaven bound. I know that. No confusion in my mind. I'm not doubting and troubled and going through life trying to search, is this right? Is this right? Is this what God wants me to do? Is this the way? No. He said, I know whom I'm in believing. I know. I've got it settled. It's clear. I know I've passed from darkness into light. I know I'm of the brethren. I know I'm of God. I know I have eternal life. The light is clear. The path of justice is a shining light. It shineth more and more in the perfect day. Shall we stand? Are you walking in the light? Listen to me carefully. If you're making any excuses in your mind for not doing what God has told you to do, hey, if you're making excuses in your mind for not doing what God's told you to do, are you listening? Darkness is coming. Darkness is coming. Won't be long. You won't be able to figure out why you don't go to church. I don't know why. I don't know. I just stopped going. You're going to go to somebody's home and you invite them to church and knock on the door. I don't know. I just stopped going. I tell you why. They rejected light. I know I ought to go to church and I know to do better and I know. No, they don't know. Their mind is dark. They don't know where they're heading. They don't know what's happened to them. They don't know what's happened to their mind. The deception of their mind. They have no idea what has taken place in their mind. The foolish heart is dark. Darkness has come over them. Darkness. Not me, preacher. Ask somebody why they don't go to church no more. Ask somebody, listen to me, I'm going to show you darkness. Ask somebody why they don't believe like they used to believe. So you used to go to church and you used to dress right and you used to believe the Bible. Now, tell me, why don't you believe what you used to believe? And the answer that comes out of their mouth, look at me and listen to me, the answer that comes out of their mouth will be darkness. Be darkness. I've battled in my mind. I said, Lord, how can they do it? They've heard and heard and heard and heard and heard. They've heard preacher. I've tried to bring every preacher I could into this pulpit that I believe that preaches the truth and preaches it right. And I've tried to saturate. I say, how can they just go out and live in the world and turn from everything they know is the truth? They don't even know. They don't even know. Why they drop their standards. Why they go places they used to say was forbidden by God and wicked. Why they took up some of the old habits of this world. They can't answer you. It's darkness. It's excuses in their mind. Whom the God of this world that blinded the minds of them which believed not. A person that doesn't obey the truth is an unbeliever. Believers obey the truth. They walk in the light. Receive forgiveness, direction, understanding. Are you walking the light? What a danger, what a danger, what a danger. What a danger to know to do right. Won't do it. One day, I know I need some things straightened out. One day I will. Oh, my. Lest darkness comes upon you. I know, preacher, I should live better. Oh, darkness is going to come upon you. Darkness. You won't see it. You won't understand it. You won't realize it's got you. But it'll get your mind and twist your mind to the most. You go out there and talk to someone. Go out there and talk to someone. Go out there in a job and talk to someone. Well, I remember when you used to go to church. What happened to you? Well, you know how things are at the church, you know, and some things that... You mean that means you got a right to turn your back on God and live ungodly and wicked in this world and cuss and swear and live a vile life and total contrary to the Word of God? Well, you know how people are, you know, just hypocrites in the church. Guess who told you that? Do you think, how many of you think that Jesus comes up to the last side and said, you don't have to serve me because there's hypocrites in the church? I'll give you a pass. You can live the way you want to because nobody lives right. I'll give you a pass. You get that from God? Did God give you that? See, you don't have to obey me. You don't have to obey my commandments. Walk while you've got light. Oh, while your mind is working right and while you understand why the Spirit of God is dealing with you, while the Spirit of God is teaching you, while you see the truth and while you see the type of person you really are and you realize that you need God and you need to get right and while all this is clear in your mind, walk!
vast darkness in me. I've seen it come into preachers. I've seen it come into the people I thought were the best Christians I ever seen. I've seen darkness come in. They've got every kind of excuse in the world why they're not a Christian. Father, in Jesus' name, follow us home with this. Follow us to our table, to our bed, to our work. Follow wherever we go. I pray you'd bring this truth in our ears. May we hear it. May we receive it. May we understand this thing. You said it. You said it. I'm merely trying to give an understanding. And Lord, I know I don't have to add to what you, but I just trying to make it clear, make an application maybe. May we realize that this is an answer. This is the why people live like they do. You said men love darkness rather than light. They won't come to the light because their deeds are evil. I'm asking in Jesus' name you'd work in the lives of these people. May they take this serious. May it awaken them. May they search their heart and say, I know what God wants me to do. I know God wants me to repent. I know I'm wrong. I know the Spirit of God has spoke to my heart, and I know what's wrong in my life. No excuse. Father, in Jesus' name, deal with their hearts. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, just sing that little song. I'll be true, precious Jesus. I'll be true. If we could just be honest with two people. If we could be honest with God and honest with ourselves. What a difference that'd make in our lives. Accept God's Word like it is, just as it is. Just accept it. You don't have to try to rationalize and reason. Just accept it. That's what Paul upbraided the Thessalonians. You received it as it is, the Word of God. Don't try to weasel around it, find a loophole, escape route. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Don't lie to yourself. And don't lie to God. Just be true. Best thing you can see is yourself as you really are, and God reveals you. You're a true person. Not the picture you paint. Not the beautiful portrait you make of yourself and I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm right, I'm good. Let God show you that picture in the mirror of His Word. And then correct. 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 Let God be true. Let me God be true. Just let Him be true. Let Him have His way in your life. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, watch over us and go our ways. Help us. Work in our lives. Correct us. Draw us. I pray your light will shine in the heart of each one here. And I pray that, Lord, we'd receive it with joy. And then, Lord, we do like the man in the parable of the sower that you said had good ground. May we keep it. And bring forth a changed life, conformed to the Word of God, dwellness and enrichment. Thank you for these that come. Thank you for your grace and goodness. Watch over us now. Work in our families. Work in our church. Work in every individual here, every man, woman, child, boy, girl. Work in each one of them's life. Bless darkness. Bless darkness. Full of honor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Lord's name.